Only baseball is on tap at Island Park. That was a headline in the Wichita Beacon on June 21st, 1925. The article went on to say that strangleholds, razors, and horsewhips would not be allowed, because all that fans would be seeing was a simple baseball game between Wichita's all-black Monrovians and the local Ku Klux Klan. The newspaper reported the Monrovians were urging as many of their fans to attend as possible, and just to show there'd be no favoritism, the two teams were hiring Catholics as umpires.
Well, that would have been perhaps a quarter mile north of us, more or less up where that bridge appears to be.
Wichita baseball historian Bob Reeves is looking up the Arkansas River from the Douglas Street Bridge. The bridge once served as the south entrance to Island Park. The ball field where the Monrovians played their game against the Klan stood on a huge sandbar in the middle of the river.
And it became the predominant ballpark for a good many years. It was used up until the early 1930s.
That's when the ballpark burned down. And a few years later, the Works Progress Administration removed the sandbar. But at the time, a game at Island Park was the hottest ticket in town.
The likelihood is that when the season opened in the middle of April, there would have been a parade down Douglas Avenue with the teams. Probably school was let out early so the kids could go. A lot of businesses would have let employees go early so they could be at the ballpark in time for a 3 o'clock game.
Since African Americans weren't allowed to play professionally in white leagues in the 1920s, all black leagues started popping up around the country. The Monrovians played in the Colored Western League, with cities like Tulsa and Topeka. The league only lasted 1 year, but by all accounts, the Monrovians were good. Very good.
They absolutely dominated the Colored Western League. I've not ever seen a full year's results for them, but at one point they had won 52 games while losing just 8.
The Monrovians' success made them popular within Wichita's black community. But it wasn't just good baseball that drew fans to their games. The Monrovians were also a means of financial support for African Americans, often putting money raised from their games into social projects, like the Phyllis Wheatley Children's Home. Donna Ray Pearson is with the Kansas State Historical Society.
They had a real affinity for the community that they were entertaining, but the games also provided some economic benefits for everybody involved. So they knew when they were sitting down to attend a game, I know I'm paying for the game, but I also know that this money is going to go help the children's home, and if the children's home is doing good, then I'm helping the community.
In fact, the Monrovians made enough money that they even had their own ballpark at the corner of 12th and Mosley in Midtown Wichita, which was almost unheard of for a team at their level. The funny thing about Wichita in the 20s is that despite the deep segregation, baseball between black teams and white teams wasn't that uncommon. Some of this could be explained by economics. Teams would usually split the money from attendance, so even whites could see the benefit of playing a popular team like the Monrovians, and the Monrovians would play anyone, black or white. But for historian Jason Pendleton, economics alone don't explain interracial baseball in Wichita. For him, it might have had something to do with the fact that, of Wichita's 70,000 people at the time, only 5,000 were black.
Baseball becomes a safe avenue to allow integration to occur, but without at the same time threatening the existing social order. So African Americans could play you in baseball and they might beat you, but the percentage of African Americans in general towards the total population in Wichita, for example, wasn't enough to where if a black team beat a white team, it was going to upset the social order and maybe somehow spark some sort of social movement or anything like that.
This might also explain why there were no interracial leagues, only single games. If a black team beat a white team, it could be explained away as bad luck or an off day. But if a black team won a whole season, that might mean something entirely different. Even given all this, it's still bizarre that a baseball game between the Monrovians and the Klan could ever take place. Of course, the Monrovians were willing to play anyone, and as Donna Ray Pearson says,
from a black perspective, it was a way to show that we are equal to you, that we can compete with you in all levels, including this one.
The Klan, on the other hand, was struggling to stay in Kansas at all. They were fighting a long legal battle with the state, and progressive newspaper owner William Allen White was waging a public relations campaign against the Klan. Again, Donna Ray Pearson.
They were on their way out. By that time, William Allen White had been starting his lobby and protest against them to get them ousted out of the state. And it was kind of one of that last-ditch efforts to say, hey, we're really not so bad. We'll play with them, see?
The Klan was desperately trying to prove it was a positive influence on society. They had already given thousands of dollars to Wesley Hospital, And the Christmas photo in the Wichita Eagle showed the Klan in full costume with hundreds of baskets of food and clothing for needy families. Klan officials made it a point to say the baskets were for anyone, regardless of race or religious belief. Even so, in 1925, the Klan lost a court case, and they were officially out of the state by 1927. Bill Sloan has done extensive research on the Klan in Wichita.
The reason the Klan was ousted from Kansas was because it was a foreign corporation headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia, doing business in Kansas, and it didn't have a charter, and under state law it had to have a charter. So that's how we got rid of the Klan.
Still, for any or all of these reasons, the game between the Monrovians and the Klan did happen that Sunday afternoon at Island Park. The Beacon reported there were no major incidents, other than some pretty good baseball. The Monrovians won the game, 10-8, after a pitcher's duel broke open in the fifth inning, and the crowd was described as large and enthusiastic. Beyond that, the game seems to have never been mentioned again, and the Monrovians faded from public view as well. We do know that a couple of Monrovians went on to play for the Kansas City Monarchs, perhaps the most well-known team in the Negro Leagues. But otherwise, like the ballpark they once played in, the Monrovians just disappeared. For KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell.